You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Wednesday edition. And today, Ambassador Sunderland testified. He gave an opening statement. There was a round of questioning. And then the Democrats, Adam Schiff, went out and more or less said, they finally got Donald Trump. We got the evidence. And then CNN and Big Lie Media started to pass the word. We're going to impeach Trump. Well, two things. Always remember, it's not over until the fat lady sings. And one other thing. Don't count your chickens until you caught them and have cooked them. Now, what happened? Oh, yes, a little background here. Sunderland was a major campaign contributor to the Trump campaign, but he wasn't for Trump. Matter of fact, he was for other candidates. But that's how you can get an ambassadorship. He paid $1 million, and he became the ambassador of the United States for the European Union. A very, let's say, important ambassadorship because it's multiple countries. But what happened? I'm going to give you the conclusion of the story. Now, the Democrats are still celebrating. Adam Schiff actually thinks he's won. I think Donald Trump played the Democrats for fools, and I think he figured right. They're fools, because let's listen to what happened. You know, when the president is going to take a trip, he's on the way to the helicopter, and he makes a very brief press statement. Let's listen in. The president's leaving the White House, and here's what happened.
So, thank you very much. We're going to Austin, Texas. Apple is opening up a fantastic facility. They're spending a tremendous amount of money. And I've been asking Tim Cook from the day I got elected from the campaign, I've been asking Tim Cook to, if they would, we want to see Apple build here. That way you have no tariffs. There's no tariffs. When companies come to our country and they build, there's no tariffs. The economy is doing unbelievably well. We continue to talk to China. China wants to make a deal. The question is, do I want to make a deal? Because I like what's happening right now. We're taking in billions and billions of dollars. I'm going to go very quickly, just a quick comment on what's going on in terms of testimony with Ambassador Sondland. And I just noticed one thing, and I would say that means it's all over. What do you want from Ukraine? He asks me, screaming. What do you want from Ukraine? I keep hearing all these different ideas and theories. This is Ambassador Sondland speaking to me. Just happened. To which I turned off the television. What do you want from Ukraine? I keep hearing all these different ideas and theories. What do you want? What do you want? It was a very short and abrupt conversation that he had with me. They said he was not in a good mood. I'm always in a good mood. I don't know what that is. He just said, now he's talking about what my response. So he's going, what do you want? What do you want? I hear all these theories. What do you want, right? And now here's my response that he gave, just gave. Ready? You have the cameras rolling? I want nothing. That's what I want from Ukraine. That's what I said. I want nothing. I said it twice. So he goes, he asks me the question, what do you want? I keep hearing all these things. What do you want? He finally gets me. I don't know him very well. I have not spoken to him much. This is not a man I know well. Seems like a nice guy, though. But I don't know him well. He was with other candidates. He actually supported other candidates. Not me. Came in late. But here's my response. Now, if you weren't fake news, you'd cover it properly. I say to the ambassador in response, I want nothing. I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. Tell Zelensky, President Zelensky, to do the right thing. So here's my answer. I want nothing. I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. Tell Zelensky to do the right thing. Then he says, this is the final word from the President of the United States. I want nothing. Thank you, folks. Have a good time. I'm going to...
And the president just won. The fat man sang, and he sang for you. It wasn't the fat lady. It was the fat president. But let's be respectful here. Let's give Donald Trump three cheers. He played it masterfully. And the Democrats look like damn fools. And they are. Especially Adam Schiff. What happened? Let me sum it up before I'm going to play some of the clips. But as far as I'm concerned, this is over with. I know they have another day of testimony, but it's over with. In terms of the American people, they're never going to get the support of the American people. I mean, the Democrats. Why? Donald Trump made it very, very simple. The Democrats have been going on and on and on about quid pro quo, quid pro quo, quid pro quo. Now, I know what it means, and I've given an example. You go in a grocery store, you fill your basket with food, you go to the checkout counter, you put the food on, cashier rings it up and says, that'll be $65, please, sir. You give the $65 and you get the groceries. Well, the $65 is the quid, and the quo is the groceries. A voluntary exchange. Does that involve bribery? No, it doesn't. Why do I use that phrase? Well, the Democrats focus tested and found out that a lot of people don't know what quid pro quo is. They don't speak Latin or are not familiar with economics, whatever. So they try to reframe it. This is House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. He bribed. He wanted a bribe from the Ukrainians. No, he didn't. What is Donald Trump's position on the Ukraine been? I'll summarize it. Ukraine is a very corrupt country. Check that off. That's exactly right. Two, in the 2016 election, the Ukrainian government and several people in that government sided with who? Hillary Clinton. They sided with the Democratic Party. See, they believed our big lie media propaganda that Hillary Clinton was a sure thing. She was going to win. So the corrupt Ukrainian government, that's not this government, it's the last one. What did they do? They made statements, wrote editorials for newspapers, and came out for Hillary Clinton. And they thought that would make sure that they would win. And the Democratic National Committee was not leaving anything to chance. They were involved in this, but they couldn't call that person as a witness. Andrea Chipala, or Chipolo, whatever. We're not going to hear from her because the kangaroo court with its head kangaroo, Adam Schiff, wouldn't let the Republicans call witnesses. That's how rigged this was. They'll rule the day about that. And initially, this Adam Schiff and the Democrats, they wanted the whistleblower to testify. But lo and behold, President Trump released the best evidence so far. By far, the best evidence so far was the memorandum of conversation. You can go online and look at it. You can read it to your heart's content. People have read it and said, it's an appropriate call. There's nothing illegal here. What are you talking about? And there wasn't. There wasn't. But the premise of this whole inquiry was that Donald Trump had done something illegal, according to the whistleblower. Well, the whistleblower has a couple of problems. He's not really a whistleblower. And he wasn't in on the phone call. And apparently he based his so-called whistleblower complaint on what? Leaks from some people, most likely on the National Security Council. I don't know who gave him the information. Oh, there's a strong suspicion it's the lieutenant colonel, but maybe not. I don't know. He testified, no, I gave it to someone else that was cleared, but Adam Schiff wouldn't let him mention his name. So it could be the whistleblower, or it could be somebody else that truly was cleared. We don't know. And we might know, though, if it ever goes to the Senate. Now, I think the Senate will, assuming the Democrats are foolish enough to proceed with this, their stupidity, and I hope they do. I'm going to make a big prayer now that the Democrats impeach Trump. Because let me tell you, any Democrat that votes for impeachment should be thrown out of the House. Ladies and gentlemen, this whole proceeding should never have happened. It's disgraceful. And who's running it? The Democrats. But who's chairman of that committee? The unbelievable pathological liar, Adam Schiff. I think he has some fantasy that he's going to be the new Nixon, in the sense of he's going to bring down, in a coup attempt, President Trump. Well, it's a fantasy and it remains a fantasy. It's not going to happen. Because today, for sure, Donald Trump won. The Democrats were played for fools and he won. Now, initially, what happened is Sunderland, he's not a friend of Trump. He admitted in testimony, I'm not a friend. I just, you know, in essence, he gave $1 million to become an ambassador. And he was doing a good job. A lot of people didn't like him, though. He wasn't the ambassador type. He was a political appointed ambassador. It goes on all the time. You make big campaign contributions. Your reward, you might become a cabinet position or an ambassador. But a lot of rich people give a lot of money, and that's what they like. And he was given a plum position, and he was trying to do his job, but he doesn't take notes. That came out in the testimony. Now, I'm a note taker, but I take notes for a different reason. Not that I ever refer back to them. I know if I take notes, I tend to remember more details. And that's good advice for students, college or high school, take notes. And you can use them when you have a test, if you want, and that's not bad because you'll get a sense of what the teacher really is going to question you on. I'm not against taking notes, but Sunderland says I've never taken notes. I take his word for it. What's the problem? See, I know something that's, I think Sunderland knows too. People don't recall telephone conversations. They don't recall conversations. The human mind is not built that way. It's not a tape recorder. That's why people can get tripped up where someone either has the recording or a transcript of what was said. And see, I think the Democrats were relying on that, but they made a big mistake. Trump released the transcript. There was nothing wrong in the telephone conversation. And that so befuddled Adam Schiff that he made a second big mistake. On national television, he lied about what the president said. And then said later, when he was called on, oh, it was a parody. So he immediately lost any credibility he had. He doesn't have any credibility now, for sure. As like I said, he's the unbelievable pathological liar, chairman of the Intelligence Committee of the House, Adam Schiff. Sunderland gave a rather long statement of 40, I think it's almost 48 minutes. I might play just the introduction of it. What's going to happen is there were a lot of questionings back and forth, but eventually Sunderland said exactly what the president said he said on live television. Now, this was after his opening statement, and after Adam Schiff and some of the Democrats went out there and more or less thought they had Donald Trump. They finally nailed him. We got him now, man. We're going to impeach him and find him guilty. There's no way the Republicans and the American people will back Trump. Don't count your chickens. And then Sunderland later said, I called the president because I wanted to know, what did he want us to do? And the president said, nothing. What do you want from the Ukraine? Nothing. And then he specified President Zelensky should do the right thing. And remember, the right thing is he's against corruption. He ran as a reformer. That's why the people of the Ukraine elected him, because they were tired of the corruption. Now, I have a lot of sound bites, clips, and I'll play a few of them. Most important one I've already played. I've given you the conclusion. That's my assessment of where it stands. Now, there's a lot that could happen. I'll be the first one to say there's another day of testimony, but I don't think there are any rabbits. The most important witness that had direct communications with the president is Sunderland. And he made it very clear what the president told him. And Sunderland likes to say, I presumed. Presumed is an educated guess. To presume is to make an informed guess, is another way to say it. It's slightly different from assume. Assume is you don't really know, but based on what you hear, here's what you assume. It's always wrong to make assumptions. And I also say you need to be real careful when you presume, because your assumptions and presumptions can, and many times do, prove to be wrong. The irony is this. Most of the people that are testified had no, they weren't in on the call. They didn't hear the call. They're not witnesses. They're truly not witnesses to the call. Because supposedly on the call, that's where the goods are. That's where the crime was committed. Well, it wasn't. It wasn't. And see, here is the irony. Yeah, there was a pause or delay, however you want to call it. And there all, and I won't say there always is, but in many situations, as Ambassador Volker testified, you know, Congress appropriated and passed a bill, and Donald Trump signed the bill. There was going to be security assistance. Think of it as military assistance to the Ukraine. Lethal, but defensive. And what we're talking about is the tank killer missile, the Javelin. And it was delayed, and eventually the Ukrainians found out about it, but the Ambassador Volker knew, had many conversations with President Zelensky, together with other people from the United States, and they all concluded, this guy is for real. He's the real deal. He is going to really have reform, and there were solid indications of that, because they made changes in the law in Ukraine. Zelensky got his meeting with the president, both in the White House and at the United Nations in New York, and then 2 days later, after that meeting, he got the aid. He never made an announcement. Not that it was illegal, but he never made the announcement that they're going to investigate the Ukrainian involvement in 2016. Now, here's the irony. He didn't have to. The Ukrainians, past government and this government, are investigating that. And they found guilty two of the people. And I think that's the past regime. And given the fact that this is an anti-corruption regime, if you will, government, they're going to look into companies like Burisma that tried to avoid taxes. Keep that in mind. So I'm going to just play a few minutes just so you get the sense. Listen to the voice. I thought I had his opening statement. Maybe I don't. So he had a long opening statement, but he made clear that, well, let's put it this way. He was asked whether or not he believed Trump wanted a no quid pro quo. Now, remember, Trump has always said consistently there was no quid pro quo. Now, let me make an important point that I think the Democrats missed. Even if there were a quid pro quo, and guess what? There usually is. There's always strings attached, conditions, if you will, or conditionals. There's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, that's what a good president would do. Make sure that the aid is used appropriately. It's not misappropriated or stolen, because a lot of times that's what happens. We send the military aid and suddenly somehow, some way, it disappears into someone's pocket. So let's get a flavor. Let's listen to what I'm going to play is, to summarize all this, the key moments of Gordon Sunderland's testimony. It's about 15 minutes.
I know that members of this committee frequently frame these complicated issues in the form of a simple question. Was there a quid pro quo? As I testified previously, with regard to the requested White House call and the White House meeting, the answer is yes. Mr. Giuliani conveyed to Secretary Perry, Ambassador Volker, and others that President Trump wanted a public statement from President Zelensky committing to investigations of Burisma and the 2016 election. Mr. Giuliani expressed those requests directly to the Ukrainians, and Mr. Giuliani also expressed those requests directly to us. We all understood that these prerequisites for the White House call and the right White House meeting reflected President Trump's desires and requirements. Secretary Perry, Ambassador Volker, and I worked with Mr. Rudy Giuliani on Ukraine matters at the express direction of the President of the United States. We did not want to work with Mr. Giuliani. Simply put, we were playing the hand we were dealt. We all understood that if we refused to work with Mr. Giuliani, we would lose a very important opportunity to cement relations between the United States and Ukraine. So we followed the president's orders.
See, that's what they use to think they won.
Later in August, you told Secretary Pompeo that President Zelensky would be prepared to tell President Trump that his new justice officials would be able to announce matters of interest to the president, which could break the logjam. When you say matters of interest to the president, you mean the investigations that President Trump wanted. Is that right?
Correct.
And that involved 2016 and Burisma or the Bidens?
2016 and Burisma.
Note the sharp distinction. Trump won an investigation of 2016 election where the Ukrainian government or its officials, ambassador, trashed him. And guess what? The Ukrainians had already done it, but keep that in mind. And Burisma, it's a corrupt organization. The owners of that, the founder of that, the oligarch, has stolen millions from the United States taxpayer in the Obama years.
And when you're talking here about breaking the logjam, you're talking about the logjam over the security assistance, correct?
I was talking logjam generically because nothing was moving.
But that included the security assistance, did it not?
Correct.
And based on the context of that email, this was not the first time you had discussed these investigations with Secretary Pompeo, was it?
No.
He was aware of the connections that you were making between the investigations and the White House meeting and security assistance?
Yes.
Did he ever take issue with you and say, no, that connection is not there or you're wrong?
Not that I recall.
Well, he also testified that you confirmed to President Trump that you were in Ukraine at the time and that President Zelensky, quote, loves your ass, unquote. Do you recall saying that?
Yeah, it sounds like something I would say. That's how President Trump and I communicate, a lot of four-letter words. In this case, three-letter.
This is a pretty serious conclusion you've reached without precise evidence.
Well, I sent that email to Secretary Pompeo to set up a potential meeting between President Trump and President Zelensky in Warsaw. And when I referred to the logjam, I referred to the logjam in a very inclusive way. Everything was jammed up at that point. And Secretary Pompeo essentially gave me the green light to brief President Zelensky about making those announcements.
So the president never told you about any preconditions for the aid to be released?
No.
The president never told you about any preconditions for a White House meeting?
Personally, no.
You said you didn't have your records or your documents from the State Department, but if you did, there wouldn't be any document or record that ties President Trump personally to any of this, correct?
Boy, I don't want to speculate what would be
Your documents or records.
I don't recall anything like
okay.
that.
Okay. No. Good heavens, okay. Did anyone else express any concerns to you about this so-called irregular channel?
I'm not sure how someone could characterize something as an irregular channel when you're talking to the President of the United States, the Secretary of State, the National Security Advisor, the Chief of Staff of the White House, the Secretary of Energy. I don't know how that's irregular. If a bunch of folks that are not in that channel are aggrieved for some reason for not being included, I don't know how they can consider us to be the irregular channel and they to be the regular channel when it's the leadership that makes the decisions.
And so the concerns, you know, raised were never brought to a head.
Well, they were never raised.
Okay.
They were never raised. No one said, back off of Ukraine, this is dangerous, you're doing something that's untoward, we have concerns. There was a bad phone call on July 25th. There's talk about a drug cocktail or something. No one ever said that to me by phone, by text, by email. I don't remember anybody sounding any alarm bell because, of course, had someone mentioned it, I would have sat up and taken notice. Everyone's hair was on fire, but no one decided to talk to us.
You don't have records. You don't have your notes because you didn't take notes. You don't have a lot of recollections. I mean, this is the trifecta of unreliability. Isn't that true?
Well, what I'm trying to do today is to use the limited information I have to be as forthcoming as possible with you and the rest of the committee. And as these recollections have been refreshed by subsequent testimony, by some texts and emails that I've now had access to, I think I've filled in a lot of blanks.
But a lot of it's speculation. A lot of it is your guess. And we're talking about, you know, an impeachment of the President of the United States. So the evidence here ought to be pretty darn good.
I've been very clear as to when I was presuming, and I was presuming on the aid. On the other things, Mr. Castor, I did have some texts that I read from. So when it comes to those, I'll rely on those texts because I don't have any reason to believe that those texts were, you know, falsely sent or that there's some subterfuge there. They are what they are. They say what they say.
If you pull up CNN today, right now, their banner says Sondland ties Trump to withholding aid. Is that your testimony today, Ambassador Sondland, that you have evidence that Donald Trump tied the investigation to the aid? Because I don't think you're saying that.
I've said repeatedly, Congressman, I was presuming. I also said that President Trump.
So no one told you, not just the president. Giuliani didn't tell you. Mulvaney didn't tell you. Nobody, Pompeo didn't tell you. Nobody else on this planet told you that Donald Trump was tying aid to these investigations. Is that correct?
I think I already testified.
No, answer the question. Is it correct? No one on this planet told you that Donald Trump was tying this aid to the investigations? Because if your answer is yes, then the chairman's wrong and the headline on CNN is wrong. No one on this planet told you that President Trump was tying aid to investigations. Yes or no?
Yes.
So you really have no testimony today that ties President Trump to a scheme to withhold aid from Ukraine in exchange for these investigations?
Other than my own presumption.
My colleagues seem to be under the impression that unless the president spoke the words, Ambassador Sondland, I am bribing the Ukrainian president, that there's no evidence of bribery. If he didn't say, Ambassador Sondland, I'm telling you I'm not going to give the aid unless they do this, that there's no evidence of a quid pro quo on military aid. But nonetheless, Ambassador, you've given us a lot of evidence of precisely that conditionality of both the White House meeting and the military assistance. Now, they also seem to say that, well, they got the money. The money may have been conditioned, but they got the money. Yes, they got caught. They got caught. Now, they still don't have the White House meeting. They made no statement. They got no meeting. The statement on the investigations was the condition to get the meeting. They didn't make the statement. They got no meeting. But they got caught.
They didn't get caught with anything. This is the – let's stipulate that Sondland's presumption is right. And Rudy Giuliani wanted an investigation. There's no bribery there. That's perfectly within the rights of the United States – and the president to insist on this. He's making something, he wants to say it's a bribe. It isn't. It is a condition, but it's not illegal. It's the responsibility of the president of the United States to make sure that aid is not sent to a corrupt regime. And he wanted to make sure that the Ukrainians were going to clean up and do what they ran on, reform the government. And then when a number of people, including the ambassador, special envoy, had many talks with Zelensky, Zelensky convinced them and many other people, including the vice president, that he wanted reform, and his actions showed that with changes in the law in Ukraine that no longer gave people in their parliament couldn't be investigated for crimes. In other words, they were going to go after corruption if politicians did it.
You're aware, aren't you, Ambassador, that 2 days before the aid was lifted, this inexplicable aid was lifted, Congress announced it was investigating this scheme. You're aware of that, aren't you, Ambassador?
I am now, yes.
Would you agree that it is wrong for the President of the United States to ask the leader of a foreign government to investigate the president of the United States' political opponent?
Yes.
But he didn't. He wanted an investigation of the 2016 election. See, what the Democrats are fearing of, if they had a thorough and complete investigation of the 2016 elections, and that's going to be coming out next year because the United States is investigating, they're going to find criminal behavior by the Obama administration and the Clinton campaign and the Democrats, the DNC. This is why I call it, it's a cover-up of coup number one that failed. This is the second coup attempt, and it's a house of cards, and it's collapsed.
Would you agree that in addition to making that request for an investigation, leveraging a visit at the White House that a foreign government leader desperately needs is also wrong?
Leveraging in what respect?
A meeting at the White House. If someone really needs a meeting at the White House to show their legitimacy to their people, that leveraging that meeting and asking for an investigation would be wrong.
Well, to be candid, Congressman, every meeting at the White House has conditions placed on it. I've never worked on a meeting at the White House that doesn't have a host of conditions placed.
But if one of those conditions is to investigate a political opponent, you would agree that would be wrong?
The political opponent, yes. But making announcements or investigations per se, no.
And if you asked a foreign government leader to investigate your political opponent, leveraged a White House meeting, and leveraged security assistance, in this hypothetical, you would agree all three of those are wrong?
In the hypothetical, yes, I would agree.
Now, you, before becoming an ambassador, worked as a businessman, and I presume you worked on a lot of deals, is that right?
Correct.
Involving millions of dollars?
Correct.
You work for a guy now who wrote a book called Art of the Deal, is that right?
I do.
And State Department employees have told us that they don't want to make legal definitions around what occurred with the White House meeting being leveraged against the investigations, but you plainly call it a quid pro quo, is that right?
I did.
And finally, one final hypothetical. If someone walks through those two doors wearing rain boots, a raincoat, and holding an umbrella with raindrops falling off of them, do you have to see outside that it's raining to presume or conclude that it might be raining outside?
I understand your hypothetical.
Who would benefit from an investigation of the Bidens?
I assume President Trump would benefit.
There we have it, see? Didn't hurt a bit, did it? Didn't hurt a bit. But let me ask you something,
Mr. Maloney.
It's obvious. That's why the Democrats don't want Bill Barr and the U.S. attorney investigating what the Obama administration did in the 2016 election when they committed many felonies by using the intelligence community to spy on the American people, namely Donald Trump and the campaign. They don't want investigations into their own real crime, not a conspiracy theory. And that's why they're doing this show trial, if you will.
Hold on, sir.
Excuse me. I've been very forthright, and I really resent what you're trying to
do. Fair enough. You've been very forthright. This is your third try to do so, sir. Didn't work so well the first time, did it? We had a little declaration come in after. You remember that? And now we're here a third time, and we got a doozy of a statement from you this morning. There's a whole bunch of stuff you don't recall. So all due respect, sir, we appreciate your candor, but let's be really clear on what it took to get it out of you. So my question is, when the president's putting pressure on the Ukrainians, withholding a meeting, to get this investigation that you and I agree would benefit him politically, what kind of position does that put the Ukrainians in, sir?
A terrible position.
Terrible position. Why?
Why does it put them in a terrible position?
Why?
Well, obviously, they're not receiving ultimately what they thought was coming to them, and they're put in a position that jeopardizes their security.
A position that jeopardizes their security, and they're being asked...
Well, let's talk about jeopardizing their security. The Obama administration refused to give lethal military, defensive military equipment to Ukraine. That jeopardized really jeopardize the capability of the Ukraine to defend themselves against Russian irregular forces in East Ukraine invading their country. The war's still going on. These Democrats get on their high horses, but there are Republicans and Democrats and the Trump administration that gave them the lethal military aid, the security assistance, whatever label you want to call it. This is hypocrisy. They've been trying to get this president any way they could. They failed with the Mueller report, and they failed here. They got played, and it's laughable.
Asked to do an investigation to help their security, essentially, that would benefit the president politically. In other words, you might say they're being asked to give him a personal benefit in exchange for an official act. Is that a fair summary?
In your hypothetical, that's correct.
It's not a hypothetical, sir.
Yes, it is, because you haven't proved that Trump did it. You have to get the evidence. And first of all, there's nothing wrong with the President of the United States to demand the Ukrainian government investigate the previous interference in United States elections in 2016, as well as Joe Biden's, I'll add this, Joe Biden and his son's appearance of corruption. And it involved the State Department. That's what they're trying to protect. Joe Biden and his son are the big losers here, because they appear, it stinks that his son was getting $83,000 a month for 5 years, several million dollars, including his friend, an equal amount, Archer Devon. They had political connections, and they used it to Biden, and that resulted in aid that went to Burisma and the bank owned by the owner of Burisma, and millions were lost. Give me a break. They don't want a thorough investigation of the corruption, not only in Ukraine, but in the United States, and Hunter Biden and his father. The only reason he got the job is in 2014, Obama made him the point man on all matters concerning Ukraine. And what did Joe Biden do? Insist that the prosecutor be fired because he was investigating Burisma. That's the real corruption.
This is real life. Were they asked to give him a personal benefit
by
in exchange
whom?
For an official act?
Sir, I am not going to go around in circles with you. Please be clear about what you're asking me.
My time's expired, sir. Thank you for your appearance.
Interestingly, Ambassador Sondland, since you came forward in these proceedings, others in the administration have tried to distance themselves from you. You know, on October 14th, Rudy Giuliani told the Washington Post that Sondland, quote, seemed to be in charge, close quote, of the effort to get Ukrainian officials to publish or to publicly announce investigations. Of course, that's false, correct?
If I had been in charge, I would have asked President Trump to have the meeting without preconditions, and the meeting would have occurred a long time ago.
That's exactly right. The president is the one that wanted these investigations, as we learned later on in reading the July 25th call transcript. Isn't that right?
The president, through Mr. Giuliani, is conveyed through Mr. Giuliani, wanted the investigations.
Which I think is the truth. See, the premise that they're all making, it's illegal for the president to do that. No, it's not. The concern with foreign aid is corruption. And we've seen the corruption of the previous government of Ukraine definitely interfering in U.S. elections. Now, I'll be the first to say, did the American people notice the interference of the Russians or the Ukrainians in the 2016 election? You got to be kidding me. Hillary Clinton lost because she was Hillary Clinton. She has a reputation for, one, being a liar, and two, not being likable, and she had medical problems, and she thought she was going to win, and she was wrong.
Morrison came in yesterday, and in his deposition testimony, as well as yesterday, disparaged you, too. He called you, quote-unquote, the Gordon problem.
That's what my wife calls me. Maybe they're talking. Should I be worried?
Maybe. You know, on October 8th of this year, the president tweeted that you are a really good man and a great American. And of course, on November 8th, 1 month later, he said, let me just tell you, I hardly know the gentleman.
Easy come, easy go.
You know, what I'm concerned about You were part of the three amigos. But what I'm really concerned about, Ambassador Sondland, is that the president and the good folks over here, my Republican colleagues, are now casting you as the one amigo, the one lonely amigo they're going to throw under the bus.
Well, I don't think they throw him under the bus. I think he's clever by half, and the Democrats fell for it. Now, I want to play two more clips. First, Stefanik's questions to Sondland.
Thank you, Ambassador Sondland, for your service. And I also want to thank you for your recognition in your opening statement of your hardworking staff at the U.S. mission to the EU. Mr. Sondland, you testified that you never received any direct confirmation or specific information as to why there was a hold on aid.
That's correct.
And in fact, you testified, quote, President Trump never told me directly that the aid was conditioned on the investigations, end quote.
That's correct.
You said, quote, never heard those words from the president, correct?
Correct.
Instead, you testified that in your September 9th call with President Trump, the president said, quote, no quid pro quo. I want nothing. I want nothing. I want President Zelensky to do the right thing, do what he ran on, end quote. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And the fact is, the aid was given to Ukraine without any announcement of new investigations.
That's correct.
And President Trump did, in fact, meet with President Zelensky in September at the United Nations, correct?
He did.
And there was no announcement of investigations before this meeting?
Correct.
And there was no announcement of investigations after this meeting.
That's right.
And you've been very clear when Chairman Schiff has asked you broadly about investigations. You've corrected that to say specifically your understanding of investigations are investigation into the 2016 elections and investigations into Burisma. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And are you aware that during the Obama administration, the U.S. partnered with the UK and Ukraine on an investigation into the owner of Burisma as part of Ukraine's anti-corruption efforts?
I became aware of it today during the hearing.
Other witnesses have testified, but yes.
And
in fact, the Obama administration's State Department was concerned about the potential appearance of conflict of interest with Hunter Biden serving on the board of Burisma because they raised this as they were preparing Ambassador Yovanovitch for her Senate confirmation. Are you aware of that?
I'm not aware of it.
She testified when I asked her that question, both in the open hearing and the closed deposition. And I've asked most of our witnesses this, and every witness I've asked has said yes, and I want to ask you this today. Do you believe that Hunter Biden having a position on the board of Burisma has the potential appearance of a conflict of interest?
I don't want to characterize Hunter Biden's service on the board one way or another. I just don't know enough.
So you disagree with every other witness that has answered yes, there is a potential appearance of a conflict of interest?
Well, you asked if there was a conflict or an appearance
of potential. My quote was the potential appearance of a conflict of interest.
Oh, I didn't hear the word appearance. Well, clearly it's an appearance of a conflict.
Correct. Clearly, it is an appearance of conflict of interest. Again, this is something that every witness has answered yes to or agreed with it could have a potential appearance, and yet we are not allowed to call Hunter Biden to answer questions in front of this committee. Thank you again for your truthful testimony today, and I yield back.
I think she summarized it well. I think she's one of the stars in terms of the representatives in this hearing. I'm looking at the time. I got to wrap it up quickly. I want to hear Jim Jordan's questioning, because this is important.
I thank the gentleman for yielding. Ambassador, when did it happen?
When did what happen?
The announcement. When did President Zelensky announce that the investigation was going to happen? On page 14, you said this. Was there a quid pro quo? Today's your opening statement. As I testified previously, with regard to a requested White House call, White House meeting, the answer is yes, that there needed to be a public statement from President Zelensky. When the chairman asked you about the security assistance dollars, you said there needed to be a public announcement from Zelensky. So I'm asking you a simple question. When did that happen?
Never did.
Never did. They got the call July 25th. They got the meeting, not in the White House, but in New York on September 25th. They got the money on September 11th. When did the meeting happen again?
Never did.
You don't know who was in the meeting?
Which meeting are you referring to?
The meeting that never happened. Who was in it? You know how Zelensky announced it? Did he tweet it? Did he do a press statement? Did he do a press conference? You know how that happened? I mean, you got all three of them wrong. They get the call, they get the meeting, they get the money. It's not 2 plus 2, it's 0 for 3. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. And you told Mr. Castor that the president never told you that the announcement had to happen to get anything. In fact, he didn't just not tell you that. He explicitly said the opposite. The gentleman from Texas just read it. You said to the president of the United States, what do you want from Ukraine? The president, I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. I want Zelensky to do the right thing. I want him to do what he ran on. What did he run on, Ambassador Sondland?
Transparency.
And dealing with corruption, right?
That's right.
Mr. Castor raised another important point. Why didn't you put that statement in your opening statement? I think you said you couldn't fit it in. Is that right? You said we might be here for 46 minutes instead of 45 minutes.
It wasn't purposeful, trust me.
Wasn't purposeful?
No.
Couldn't fit it in a 23-page opener. The most important statement about the subject matter at hand, the president of the United States in a direct conversation with you about the issue at hand, and the president says, let me read it one more time. What do you want from Ukraine, Mr. President? I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. I want this new guy, brand new guy in politics. His party just took over. I want Zelensky to do the right thing. I want him to run on and do what he ran on, which is deal with corruption. And you can't find time to fit that in a 23-page opening statement. You know what a quid pro quo is?
I do.
This for that, right? Looks to me like Ukraine got that three times, and there was no this. We didn't do anything. Or excuse me, they didn't have to do anything. I've never seen anything like that. And this is when the call came out. Y'all remember this? When the call came out, everyone said we're gonna. Quid pro quo. There's going to be that was what was in the call. And of course, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. Remember what the complaint said? Remember what the memo said of the whistleblower? This call was frightening. This call was scary. All those things. None of that materialized. None of that materialized. I yield back.
Now, one final statement by Nunes.
Just briefly, Ambassador, I know you want to get on a plane, so I want to thank you for your indulgence today. Once again, the American people have seen another failure of their preposterous conspiracy theory, which that's if their conspiracy theory doesn't change between now and our next hearing, which is in a few hours from now or another hour or so, and it keeps changing every day. The claim, Ambassador, that you had an irregular, you were accused of having an irregular channel, drug deals, now supposedly you're one amigo. Nobody on this side of the aisle claimed that you were one amigo.
I lost my amigos?
Yeah, not from us, not from us. No bribes given to, that you made any bribes to the Ukrainian people or to the Ukrainian president. Your co-conspirator, Volker. I find it remarkable and troubling how the Democrats and their collaborators and the press have been able to vilify Ambassador Volker, who was supposed to work on these matters in Ukraine, like you, Ambassador. It was a very regular channel, and no amount of storytelling by the left and the Democrats on this dais will change that. It was the regular channel. Testimony received today was far from compelling, conclusive, and provides zero evidence of any of the crimes that have been alleged.
I'm going to end it there. I have to end it there. We're closing the studio. The song that I think is appropriate, and it was 50 years ago, that Peggy Lee sung, Is That All There Is? I'll just play a few bars from that.
I remember when I was a little girl and our house caught on fire. I'll never forget the look on my father's face as he gathered me in his arms and rushed to the burning building on the pavement. And I stood there, shivering in my pajamas, watched the whole world go up in flames. And when it was all over, I said to myself, is that all there is to a fire?
Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com. and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.